Today is the 19th of January 2014, and you have joined us for the evening service of the Weatherby House Church. And tonight we're going to talk about separation. I'm not talking about separation from your spouse. I'm talking about separation from people who are denying the Word of God. And the trouble that it causes when we are fellowshipping with those who don't believe the Bible. That's what we're going to be talking about. Do we have a selection?
Jesus Knows, page 384.
Page 384.
Turn the Baptist thing up. 384.
Come what may, enjoy your sorrow, be my portion, pain or rest. Jesus guides me and directs me, and his way is always best.
Jesus knows
all the way
my feet must go.
Jesus knows in my trust to love me so. I would never choose my pathway, but by faith we walk with him. Trusting ever and believing, if the skies are bright or dim. Jesus sees if heavy hearted, I am toiling on life's road. And with love he lifts the shadows that obscure his blessed abode. Jesus calls me to be faithful, to be helpful as I roam. And when toils and tears are ended, he will bid his child come home. Jesus knows
all the way
my feet must go.
Jesus knows,
him I trust,
him I trust, him loves me so.
Page 92, Psalm
149. Oh, praise the Lord, O sing aloud, and listen to the Lord. Where faithful ones assemble, his praise and song accord. With joy in his Creator, let Israel shout and sing. And trembling let all Zion be joyful in their King. Oh, let them in the world be dead. Give praise to his great name. Let him with sound of harp and drum sing songs of praise to him. That people which the Lord has cleaned is pleasant in his eyes. And with salvation's radiance the meek he beautifies. In glory let the faithful ones exalt with lifted heads. Let them for gladness shout aloud and sing upon their beds. Oh, let the lofty praise of God from out their throats be poured. And let them have within their hand a sharp two-edged sword. All nations thirst to take revenge, and punish heathen folk, to chain their kings and on their chiefs to bronze and iron yoke. Amid the judgment execute, fell written in his word, dishonor all his faithful, and do ye praise the Lord.
So spoiled. And so convenience oriented people, and we as a people want to take the path of least resistance. It's just a very natural thing to do, and we want to we don't want to be inconvenienced, and we want to have the acceptance of people. We want to have people's acceptance. We don't want to be rejected. It's not a natural thing for us to be rejected. And so what happens with that is we have found ourselves in a great travail of soul, because we've got all these people out here that are they are living in a way as if nothing's wrong. In other words, they're going in amongst other people that are denying the Word of God, and they are they are just living kind of like they're in a cloud or something. Now, I want to go and look at 2 Corinthians 6:17 tonight. I want to look at a passage there. A lot of people think that, oh, Larry's just a bigot. He's narrow-minded. I had one fella tell another person about me that I am just too nitpicky. Larry's just too nitpicky. Maybe I am. Where did I say I wanted to go to? 2 Corinthians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Now he also says, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, there's none of us that are not defiled. There are none of us that are perfectly pure of heart. You know, the Bible tells us that man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I can vouch for that for myself. We constantly have to examine ourselves that we are in the faith. But that is not a justification to yoke yourself together with people that deny the Bible. And it's not a justification to yoke yourself together with people that practice idolatry. It's not a justification to fellowship with those who have openly denied the Word of God. So we're commanded that to come out from among them and to be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There's not a lot of teaching on this today, because people realize that we are living in such perilous times, and the churches are so full of idolatry, the churches are so full of adultery, the churches are so full of divorce and remarriage, the churches are so full of doctrinal error, churches are so full of the teaching of the free will of man, that it's almost impossible to find a church to worship at that is actually practicing this doctrine of separation. And there are going to be people that hear this message that are going to say, you're just trying to set yourself up as better than everybody else. No, I am not. You don't know me very well. Because I struggle daily with the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. I have a temper. I get angry. I falter and I fail on a daily basis, and I don't necessarily like it. But is that a justification for me to put myself in a position where I know that I am putting myself amongst blatant idolaters and adulterers and those who deny the Word of God? No, it is not. No, it is not. Those who don't take any stand for that, in fact, they won't even talk about it. And actually, they have the attitude that if you say anything about idolatry and adultery and unbelief of the Bible, then you are a judgmental infidel. They treat you as if you are the infidel. Now, I know that my only hope is that God will grant unto me forgiveness of all my sin according to the shed blood of Christ. And that is with anyone who makes it to the celestial city. However, like I said, that is no justification to go in amongst people who are teaching and preaching false doctrine. There came a time when I had to remove myself from false teaching. I've been a great part of my life in a lot of false teaching. I'm involved in the New Age movement, involved in the Charismatic movement for a while, involved in Southern Baptist for a while, involved in Reformed Presbyterian Church for a while, the teaching of infant baptism. When we have the light on something that we believe that the Bible teaches, and we stay in it, then our conscience will be condemned. Our conscience will hold us in condemnation. The Bible says there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How can we walk after the Spirit if we're joined to those who are practicing idolatry, denying the Word of God, and not enduring sound doctrine? There will come a time when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. but they will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears and be turned unto fables. What kind of teaching am I speaking of? I'm speaking of what I call psycho-garbage. Psycho-garbage. Jesus Christ was not a psychologist or a counselor. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He died on a cruel and rugged cross at Calvary for the sins of all of his people. He endured tremendous suffering and pain and anguish of spirit and soul. Okay, so now we come to the question. When do you cave in? When do you compromise? All in the name of charity. When do you just say, forget the whole thing? Our society is so bad, it's so full of adulterers, it's so full of idol worshipers, it's so full of false doctrine and false teaching. People don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe the 9th chapter of Romans. They don't believe the God of the Bible. They have created another God. So let's just throw up our hands and join them. When is it proper to compromise and do that? I mean, you know, we got to have fellowship with somebody. We can't just eliminate ourselves from everybody else on the planet. So let's just compromise. Let's just, you know what was the old saying? When you're in Rome, you do as the Romans do, right? You know, hey, the majority rules, right? I mean, when is it right just to throw up our hands and say, okay, forget it. I'm going to go find a church to worship in, and so what, there's a lot of adultery in the church, and so what, they're worshiping idols, and so what, they deny election, and so what, they deny reprobation, and so what, they deny the sovereign grace of God, and so what, they're into sports, and they're into the things of the world, and so what, they promote professional athletes from the pulpit, with all these godless cheerleaders and everything else on Sunday, and so what? God will overlook all of that. And so what? They are hobnobbing with the Roman Catholics and the United Methodists and the Southern Baptists and all these other denominations that have thrown in the towel. And so what? They're ordaining women. So what? They have homosexual ministers. I mean, everybody knows it's okay to be gay. Everybody knows our society's changed. We're not living in the same world today as we were living in 20 years ago. So what? Let's just all get along. Let's just all love Jesus. Let's just all find the lowest common denominator, and that is, let's just all love Jesus. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Jesus made it possible that all the world might be saved. Have you seen the latest message put out by Pope John Francis? He says, hey, we are no longer the same Catholic Church as we used to be. We now embrace homosexuals and gays as a normal lifestyle. We no longer believe in a literal hell. We no longer believe that Jesus doesn't love everybody. And eventually everyone will be in communion with Jesus. And we believe that every religion has equal merit. Well, let's just not all love Jesus. Let's just all love whoever we want to love and call him God. It doesn't have to be Jesus. It can be Allah. It can be Gandhi. It can be Maitreya. It could be the New Age Christ. It could be all paths lead to God anyway. Isn't that what Michael Savage says? Why do we have to be so rigid in our teachings? Why can't we just be more open-minded? Why can't we just love everybody? Doesn't love cover a multitude of sins? Shouldn't we just be more charitable? There abides these three, right? What are the three? Faith, love, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity, isn't it? I mean, isn't that what the Beatles said? All we need is love. I mean, why do we have to be so rigid? Why do we have to be so put ourselves in this box and try to set all these rules up and that? Why do we have to be so pharisaical? We're all hypocrites anyway. And since we're all hypocrites, let's all be hypocrites together. Let's all just get along and sing Kumbaya. Let's go for the harmonic balance. Let's go for the green earth. Let's make a new earth. Let's make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth love. So what if you don't want to wear clothes? You don't have to wear clothes. I mean, the human body is a beautiful thing, isn't it? And so what, you want to listen to hard rock music? Some people like metal music. Some people like Beethoven. Some people like Bach. And some people like acid rock.
Classic rock.
Let's just go along with anything. Let's not set any boundaries. And if you want to have some transgender people in your congregation, isn't that all right too? So maybe they don't want to be male. Maybe they want to be female instead of male. And I think we should have some dogs in the congregation and some horses. You know, folks, yeah. What I'm trying to say is, can't you see where this is going?
Yeah.
This is the Jesuits' plan. To neutralize any kind of absolutes in our society whatsoever. And if the person like Larry Phillips that's considered a rabble-rouser and an absolutist and a dogmatist is going to be the first one that's going to be out on the rail. So let's just throw in the towel, right? Let's just forget any standards, forget any kind of moral absolutes. Well, Christ took a whip and drove the money changers out of the temple. He said, "You made it a den of thieves. My father's house a den of thieves." Well, that's what the Jesuits have done. They've made God's house a den of thieves. They've made merchandise of the people. "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing." So, we will continue to take a stand, regardless of how we're lambasted, regardless of, you know, only God can give us the grace in the midst of these troubled times we're living in. We have a selection. Page 25, Psalm 19.
Jehovah's perfect law restores the soul again. His testimony sure gives wisdom unto men. The precepts of the Lord are right and fill the heart with great delight. The Lord's command is pure, enlightening the eyes.
Jehovah's fear is clean, more lasting than the skies. The judgments of the Lord express His truth and perfect righteousness. They're more to be desired than stores of finest gold, than honey from the comb, more sweet as far they hold. With warnings they thy guarding, in keeping them His great reward. His errors who can know, cleanse me from hidden stain, keep me from willful sins, nor let them o'er me reign. And then I upright shall appear, and be from great transgression clear. Let all the words I speak, and all the thoughts within, come up before thy sight, and thine approval win. O thou Jehovah, unto me, my rock and my redeemer be.
Dear Lord, bless your word and the preaching we have heard this evening. We pray in your lovely name, amen.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would help us to continue to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and help us not to just throw in the towel and compromise. We ask for Christ's sake, amen.